town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk.
Let's go. A podcast for the people, by the people.
I'm already yawning, guys.
Jesus, wake up. It's the morning.
Let's pick this up.
It's the morning. The day this is coming out is the day we're recording it. It's Friday.
Yes, it is.
It's freaking cold out. Wearing a long sleeve.
You know the other people are like, really? Where the hell are you guys from?
Long sleeve in the studio today. It says, my watch says it's 54 outside.
That's crazy.
I was gonna say, there's a bite to the air.
I think it's only supposed to be like 60 today.
Yeah.
And then 85 football. Next week.
Football fall, weather. Pumpkin yeah. patches are open.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Let's go.
Yeah.
They probably have pumpkin spice coffee everywhere.
Totally. Last night I almost turned on a Halloween movie.
Really?
Stop, you can't. Yeah, that is absurd.
Hubie?
Dude, that's what I was going to watch. I was flipping through... Netflix or Amazon or whatever it was, yeah. And they had a whole section of like Halloween movies already, you know. And then I went to Netflix and I was flipping through and I saw Hubie. I almost picked it. The only reason I didn't pick it was because of the reaction you just heard.
Oh, yeah.
I actually don't really care, but I do care.
You were rolled
like,
over.
Like, I don't watch it, but I hear it.
Yeah. You
I don't
were rolled
really
over
want to go to sleep to
facing
a
the other way. And I knew as soon as I turned that on. And Hubie started talking, you'd be like, are you kidding me already?
He just doesn't even want to hear my voice anymore, Andy. Why do we even do this podcast?
No.
He won't even watch his movies.
No, I just don't want to hear your voice bitching.
Oh, because I bitch all the time.
No, I didn't say that. Mm. I just said in that particular instance, I didn't want to hear it bitching.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I was trying to go to bed. My mind was, you know, at ease.
Yeah.
But anyway. Right.
So what did you settle on?
Oh, God. What did I settle on last night?
I was already asleep. I don't know. You wouldn't have heard me bitching.
Are you guys up to...
It might have been Back to the Future.
Well, that's solid.
Yeah.
Are you guys aware of this phenomenon called K-pop Demon Hunters on Netflix?
No.
No.
I've heard of, like, I keep hearing K-pop.
Well, K-pop.
Like, here and there. But,
what is that?
Korean pop music.
Oh.
It's usually like a big boy band or a girl band,
and they'll okay.
It's like Backstreet Boys Korean style with over the top dances. That's K-pop in my mind anyway.
So that's what you watch at night. You're about to tell us.
This freaking movie. It's a children's movie. So if your girls would have been like as old as mine are right now, you wouldn't be able to escape it. You would have already watched it like 50 times.
Oh boy.
At least. This thing has gotten so big that it was number one for 2 or 3 weeks on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw that they have the rankings there on Netflix. I saw that it was 2. I'm like, oh my God, it's not number one anymore. Well, 3 was K-pop Demon Hunters Sing Along. So they went from not being number one to being 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Basically the same movie. So it's been released now in theaters and big crowds show up and sing with it.
Mm.
This...
I'm going to have to ask Joel.
It is insane. And
I don't think Joel.
You think he's too... No, but he watches like YouTube shorts. So I bet he's flicked through.
It's pretty cool animation. It's done by the same people that did Sony Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
In that sequel.
Hmm.
The soundtrack is just crazy good.
Like, does it make you, like, get up and dance?
Can you sing
some of this? It makes all three of my kids get up and dance. And, like, we went to a party a couple weeks ago, and all the kids put it on, like, kids we never knew and we never seen before, and they all just ran to the living room and started jumping around dancing and singing to it. It's insane.
Dude, I don't know. There's something about K-pop. Like, when I just Googled K-pop, the first thing that pops up is Demon Hunter. So, obviously, that's the
thing. I don't really like that name.
Yeah, so this is what I'm getting to. So... There's something about
it's like cultish
K-pop that doesn't feel right. I don't know. Like, I don't dig into it, so I guess I don't really know any details, but just the little bit of stuff that I see on the surface, it feels like it's some kind of like, what would you call it? Like a...
Demonic, they're trying to get in the kids' brain? like take over?
Like, yeah, but
like
but,
Pokemon.
No, like some like mind control attack.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like from you know from Korea, like they're coming at us with
right.
And it might not even be them behind it. It's just being disguised as a Korean thing.
Well, then you'd get a kick out of that, the storyline to that movie.
Really?
I will die on this.
So this is one of those things where like they make it completely obvious what they're doing, but nobody actually
thinks they're
like,
doing
it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so this is interesting because a few weeks ago, prior to this being released, I watched this fun little documentary over villains and mm-hmm. the difference between your traditional like Disney movie villains and then villains from a different type, like from Korea, like mm-hmm. and it gets really gray as far as what are the villains' intentions. Well, don't you need bad to be good? Like, what is good if there's not a bad? Mm-hmm. You know, so like mm-hmm. This movie does an exceptional job of depicting is bad really all that bad? You know, like, and don't you need that bad in order to even have good? And in order to do the most good, you better be capable of being bad. Like, this storyline is crazy deep. And I don't know if the kids understand it, but I think they do on a certain level. It's wild. Like, I will die on this hill. That is a fantastic story. But it's so bright and poppy, and the girls are singing mm-hmm. and stuff. So, like, it's a... I shouldn't say that I'm into it, but
it sounds like you are.
It's dude.
I think you're into it.
Dude, I think the story, he needs to do a little sing along.
Dude, the story is freaking. I really like the story, and I love the main character. Not the three pop girls that everyone's obsessed with, but the main villain, Jinu. He's my guy. I like Jinu.
Hmm. Oh God, now yeah. do we have to is watch
it Ken,
this?
Is it Ken Jeong? It shows all the cast on here.
He's the girl's manager. He's like the comedic relief.
Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my gosh, this is like very interesting.
You know what the other thing is about K-pop? And again, I don't listen to it, but like if it's on the radio or whatever, if it's actual like K-pop, I guess not this show. Mm-hmm. Is it in English or is it in?
So this is wild. Like I would say 80% of the songs are sung in English, but then like to finish out a verse or something, it'll just go right into Korean. Yeah. And so like, and you can't keep up with it. It's yeah, English yeah, yeah. and then
so
Korean.
So that's my point is like, you don't even actually know what you're hearing.
No.
And then they have this like, this catchy beat, you know, and mm-hmm. all this stuff going on, and then you're into it and you might actually be doing something in your mind that you don't realize you're doing because they're saying things.
Yeah.
This K-pop, man, I'm telling you. Plus, when I see videos of some of these
kids. So you didn't like Gangnam Style? Open Gangnam Style.
Yeah, dude. No, that was just nonsense.
I knew how to do that dance.
Some of these videos that I see of these people, like these K-pop boy bands.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this isn't exactly a children's show we've got here. All I can think about is like lady boys.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm like, yeah. Oh, these K-pop.
Right.
People, like, they're...
It's a little weird.
Is that a dude or is that a chick?
Yeah.
What is going on here?
Yeah.
What are they hiding under the hood?
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah. I don't know. Dude, I'm not into K-pop. I'm just telling you that this is a Sony production, and they did a...
And they did good.
They did a killer job.
Okay. Sony. All right.
Man, I like Sony, though.
I really thought that first Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was really awesome and well done. Different type mm-hmm. of animation. And you can tell that... This has the same type of flavor to it.
Okay, well.
I don't know if you guys would want to watch it or not, but the story is pretty good if you follow it.
The Demon Hunters.
The Demon Hunters.
I don't know if I could fall asleep to that.
I don't think you'd be able to. It's too bright, too loud, too many things going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you can pretty much guarantee I won't be watching that anytime soon.
If my girls come over, you'll have to watch.
If they do, yeah.
Yes, right, yes.
All right, well.
Well, is that it? Is that it for today?
Off of K-pop.
Kidding.
Yeah.
The K-pop episode. So, yeah, like I said, it's Friday. It's time for another news roundup. There's too much going on.
A lot going on.
A couple of hot topics that I want us to hit and discuss from the common folk perspective. I was thinking about some of the things on here. And I was thinking about news in general. And every now and then, this kind of comes to mind for me. But for an example, the Trump shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know anything about the Trump shooter?
Which one?
Yeah. Well, the first one that was the one that actually hit his ear.
Connected.
Yeah, that was that. Joe Rogan brings that up every now and then.
Like, does he?
His apartment had been scrubbed, like chemically scrubbed. There was no fingerprints on anything. There was no silverware in his apartment. He didn't have any social media accounts, even though he was 20 years old or 19 years old, whatever
yeah.
he was.
Yeah.
So that was just, that was bizarre on a lot of levels. So, yeah, we don't know anything.
You know, on these episodes that we're recording here, you know, we're going to talk about like, what's going on in the news right now and give the common folk perspective. But I was just thinking about news stories in general, and that one came to mind of about many where it's like we were just left hanging,
mm-hmm.
and everyone just accepts it.
Well,
and then, you know, the next big thing happens,
mm-hmm.
and it's like the dude who shot the healthcare CEO.
Yeah.
We know what size of underwear that dude wears.
Yeah, Luigi.
But this guy who shot our president, we know nothing about this dude.
Right.
Like, how is this possible?
Well, they're burying it.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Sure. I mean, they have to be.
Right.
But then the next question is why?
Yeah, why?
Right? Why do we not have the information? These people, these major things happen and we get details on people within hours.
Yeah.
This freaking dude, it's been forever and we know nothing.
So are you going to let this go on to the other one that where we don't know anything and we had a little protest by some of the victims? Is that where you're going?
Which one?
Well, the Epstein victims did another
yeah.
protest. And, you know, people are saying, this is just clear and obvious now. Like, it's in your face that there is, what do you want to call it? Something behind the scenes pulling the strings,
mm-hmm.
you know, where even this loud, boisterous president of ours who and everyone that he hired said, we're going to release those. They're here. They're there. We got all this. And then they get into power and it's like, oh, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Right. Because someone is telling him not to.
Yeah, right. It feels like our entire government is being blackmailed by something somewhere from some, I don't know. It is so bizarre that, and because that was a huge part of Trump's
mm-hmm.
platform,
yeah.
you know, is we're going to release these files. We're bringing justice to these women. No more deep state. Drain the swamp. And we're all like, yeah, yeah. And then nothing. We get there and there's still, he just said the other day or yesterday that there's nothing there. Why do we keep bringing that up? This is a Democratic hoax. He called it a Democrat.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah, when he was leaning on it so heavily.
Like, you're really, really insulting the public's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's switching a lot of stuff. It's just like his meeting with Bill Gates. Like, come on. Like, there's just, you know, money switching hands and people doing this and doing that. And now we're doing this with the, you know, the jabs and we need this. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. Like,
you know,
Bobby was just on stand testifying in front of the Senate, and the Senate was trying to beat him up, and it got mm-hmm. into a yelling match, which I do think sometimes you do need to have a fight in order to move forward, you know, a little bit.
I want to comment on that, by the way. That's a whole nother topic. Do you really think that these Senate hearings mean anything?
No, it's a show, isn't it?
It's a 100% complete bullshit show.
Mm-hmm.
How many have we heard about in the last, let's just take the last 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
that are these super serious Senate hearings that someone gets set down, like freaking, you know, the CEO of Facebook or whoever else gets set down, gets their ass chewed out. We get to hear all these like audio clips, and mm-hmm. we all get like, oh yeah, look, those people are on our side. Listen to them just blasting this bastard, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
Nothing.
Nothing. Not a single freaking thing. Like, these people will ask the same questions that we're asking right here mm-hmm. to those people's faces, call out common sense shit.
Yeah.
But then nothing happens. It's like, what are you guys even doing? Why are you even having this hearing?
It's just kind of a public shaming way, you know,
exactly
like
what
they
it
used
is.
To do to the jester if he got out of line, you know, take him to the town square and they'd put him in that weird thing and throw tomatoes at him or whatever. That's all it is.
It doesn't fix anything.
And they do it to everybody, too. Like, yeah. My old baseball hero, Mark McGwire, they put him on stand and just embarrassed the shit out of him. And it's like, why is baseball players testifying in front of Congress just to have these suits, these dickheads, sling mud at my guy? Mm-hmm. Like, we all know, like, look at him. He's the size of a freaking Volkswagen. We all know he's on steroids. Right. Right?
Yeah.
And I'll also die on this hill. If it weren't for Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa having that home run battle back in the day, you remember that? Mm-hmm. You even remember that. Baseball was still reeling from going on strike 6 years prior. They needed. So at that time, baseball was like kind of promoting steroids and steroid use.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, turning a blind eye to it. And then, like what you're saying, oh, now we're going to come clean. And, oh, he didn't do something we wanted. So let's get him in front of Congress and just, you know, just dress him down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not a big fan of it, obviously.
So. Yeah. It's the craziest thing to me that, like, it gets any time, attention, or money.
It's kind of like a Jerry Maguire show. Not Jerry Maguire. What's his name?
Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer.
It is. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Totally. It's just
yeah, like you said,
for it's a show.
Bunch of bullshit. And then with the, you mentioned the Facebook guy, Zuck, old Zuck. Well, so he gets drilled. He gets drilled. And then it comes out. It's like, well, I'm doing what you guys made me do.
Right. Yeah.
I'm doing what the FBI told me to do.
Yeah.
All right. We'll stop asking questions now. Shut up. Yes. Get out of here.
It's just unbelievable. It's so frustrating to see, like, you know, the people in power or whatever and do this kind of stuff. And then I guess what's the most frustrating is that they think we're a bunch of freaking idiots.
Mm-hmm.
That we're just like, we see that and we're like, oh, yep, they're on our side. They're going out there for us. They're going to get it. They're going to get it done. They're going to get this fixed.
Yep.
Oh, no, they ain't getting shit fixed.
Trump's getting them now. He's getting them now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. What were we talking about before that?
The assassination attempt.
Oh, yeah.
And I took you down the Epstein.
So it was basically, I just think it's so crazy that we've got stories like that we still know nothing about. And we can pull up 10 or 20 of them that, like, they've just made their way out of the mainstream topic. Everyone just kind of forgets about it, moves on to the next one, and we don't hold anybody accountable.
Let's go the opposite direction here, where a big story does happen and like, we wouldn't even know about it if it wasn't for X or Twitter or just some other back channel. I don't even want to call it a back channel, but, you know, the internet, basically.
Yeah.
Did you see anything on that? What was she? 10-year-old girl over in England with she had a hatchet and a knife and she was fighting off.
Trying to defend herself or something?
Yeah, defending herself from some immigrants. It looked like they're from some Muslim descent or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that started a whole rally over there. But all I kept seeing, like, the mainstream media will never talk about this. Mainstream media won't talk about this. And they don't. They don't. They're not talking about it at all.
I don't know what you're talking about, so.
Like, she was a Twitter or X phenomenon. Like, that got picked up and really got run with. And yeah, that's something that was happening on the streets, on ground level, and had some significance to it. And how couldn't you want to pay attention to a little girl defending herself and her friends from older men trying to do who knows what to them? And it obviously was a story because without the media even paying attention to it, we're across the pond and we know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I just think that's interesting to me what gets picked up and what doesn't. Like,
it is interesting. Yeah.
Why are we told this or why are we told that, you know, when there's other things that maybe I'd find more interesting out there, you know. Sorry.
Yeah.
But
anyway, yeah, that's kind of the state of news. But the dogs barking.
So my three are back here playing around.
Oh, okay.
They're in the old roping arena.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, so they're probably chasing the kids around.
Toy trucks and stuff.
So one of the first ones that I had here in regards to stories that just kind of get forgotten about and just kind of either make like small, you know, they go in the back pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have all the details on this, but I think it's interesting to discuss is the whole thing where Trump had gotten that ruling against him in New York where he had the fines for inflating his property values.
Property values.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So you remember when that went down?
Yeah.
And that was a huge deal. You know, people were like, the president is.
That's what they got him on.
Yeah. The president has committed fraud. He's, you know.
And they made it a felony, which at very worst is a misdemeanor, which had already ran out of statute of limitations. And also, it's just the way business is done. Like, I say it's high, then you come back and say it's low.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, what I had caught wind of was that, so he had that ruling against him, and it's that New York attorney general, and she's, you know, she's just hell bent on just burying him, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess like a lower court dropped it.
So it couldn't even get to the higher court?
It's like all gone now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody knows, right?
Right.
I mean, the president was fined like... Yeah. I don't know, $500 million, which is a big freaking deal.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's just gone.
That
and she now is appealing that. So she's trying to get him, you know, recharged or like, you know, bring that back to the surface. Mm-hmm. It also, in part of that ruling, it basically said that neither Trump nor any of his children or basically business associates would be allowed to be a CEO of a company in New York. So it like, it like knocked out like their ability to have certain positions in business anymore. You know, so all of that has been removed.
Yeah.
But you got to ask yourself, like, what's really going on here? Like how do you get fined $500 million?
Right.
And then it just goes away.
Then it's just nothing. It's like, oh, we just threw it out there. See if it'd work. It didn't. Fine. It's gone.
Yeah.
And, that one dude off of Shark Tank, he's on Fox News all the time. He's a real estate guy. I did catch him saying, like, if this passes, which even just bringing it to a court like this is really going to stamp down development in New York, because what developer is going to want to go there and risk just making just doing normal business? Because like by his definition, like, Trump didn't even do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just how it's done. Like, he sent in an evaluation, they would tweak it and send it back, and they'd find somewhere in the middle. Like, how can you, like you said, find someone $500 million and then add on like you or your kids can't do business here either? Like, if you're a developer, you're like, screw that. I'll develop in Jersey. I'll just go to New Jersey then. Yeah. You know? So like,
you know what else is interesting? If you've ever bought a house or any number of houses, you would have seen this happen where you go in, you negotiate whatever, you get this price, and then you have to go get a home loan and you have to have some kind of appraisal done, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the appraisal has to come in at least at the value of what you're purchasing for. Does it ever not? No. It always comes in at that value. It doesn't matter what you're buying this thing for.
Yeah.
And this thing could be, it could have been when it's a seller's market and this house has gone 20% higher than what they had it listed for because there's so many bidders.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up winning the bid, and then they go to the appraisal, and guess what? The appraisal still comes in 20% higher than what it was listed for.
Right.
This is all just a bunch of bullshit games that get played on the value of these places.
For sure. And I think it's one of the things that really frustrates people with Trump is that he's comfortable in court. Like, he just, I think he views it as, I think it was just the way he was raised, and his dad and his mom always being sued, you know?
Right.
It's like, that's just the way it is, you know? So he's not afraid to speak his mind, do his thing, develop here, develop there, buy a golf course.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he's going to get sued, and he's like, well, I think to him it's a sign that he's doing something right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Gosh.
It's kind of a weird way to think about it.
The other thing that blows my mind, and it is very frustrating for me, is can you imagine how much has been spent on just that case alone? So where he got charged $500 million or whatever it was, how much has been spent just on his side?
Yeah.
Defending that and getting it to where it got thrown out,
like
probably the amount of money that we will never even dream of seeing as an individual, but has been spent just on defending him.
I mean, just, you know, like if you just hire a local lawyer around here just to do a little task, it's $300 an hour.
Yeah, all day.
And that's not a $500 million lawsuit.
Yeah.
It's in, you know.
Yeah. That jackwagon that sent me that email that was trying to sue my website for not being
eco-friendly?
Compliant, ADA compliant.
Yeah, for the blind.
Yeah, that we weren't. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, that's a real freaking lawsuit. And also, by the way, it's coming from New York. Hmm. And they're suing hundreds, if not thousands, of websites. I called and talked to a lawyer in Omaha, and it was like a 30-minute conversation, if that, probably 20. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, is this real? What's the response? How do you do this? You know, whatever. Okay, what's the plan? All right. Okay, look some stuff up. We'll get back to you. Mm-hmm. Got a bill in the mail for $750.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For all 30 because, minutes
all
on the
because
phone.
Some jackass wants to just send me a threat.
Yeah.
That they're suing my website.
I called
and I went as far as to contact, which was great, a local organization in Omaha. I have to look back and see who they are. It was called Enrichment. I think it was like Enrichment Omaha, something like that. So shout out to them if I've got that right. I should look it up. But one of the things that they do is work with blind folks to help them with accessibility and getting jobs and all these kinds of things.
Yeah.
So I contacted them and I said, hey, would you take a look at my website? I'll pay you guys and just have somebody review it and tell me what you think needs changed so that I'm accessible. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, we'd be happy to do that. So they did that, sent me some stuff. It was basically nothing. They were like, to be honest with you, this is one of the better ones we've seen. But here's a couple of things I would change with like these photos and this link or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think you're great. I was like, okay.
So yeah. So what are you being sued for then?
Yeah, yeah. Accessibility. It's going to cost me 10, 15, 20 grand. I don't know. Jeez. If they go through with it.
Yeah. Yeah, if they feel like they could win.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
But that's just it. That's what you're getting at. Like, it'll just all float away if they don't feel good about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But they can throw it out there.
Well, and here's the bullshit thing about our legal system. So they file suit. If I don't give a legitimate answer in, you know, air quotes, like a legal response from a lawyer, then I'm admitting fault and they automatically default get judgment.
Yeah.
So they just win just because.
Yeah.
Because I didn't respond.
Just for being an asshole.
Yep.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
but anyway.
No response is a response.
I guess. So yeah, so that was so news wise, that was an interesting topic I thought going on with you know, all the things that Trump gets charged with, obviously, but this one's just kind of going away. Who knows?
Yeah, it's just going away. It's just going away. I don't think that the Epstein thing is going away, especially after seeing that last little protest from victims. These victims now are really starting to get loud and be front and center. And I'm happy to see that, and I hope they get justice. And
they have, like, that Marjorie Greene's like, yeah, give me the names. I'll take it.
It's going to be a bloody mess, and let's say everything is released. There's going to be people on there, you know, to a various degree. Like, just because you were on his plane doesn't mean that you were diddling kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I think it's like a lot of things. We're just going to lump everybody into this, and maybe that's what they're afraid of. But I do feel, like everybody, that there's feels like a blackmail job of some sort.
Like, so guilty by association, basically.
Well, it's
like you could have been on the plane,
or you could have had him at your party.
Yeah,
you know, your name's in this black book, but that doesn't mean that you went to his island and partook or got drunk or, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
got compromised. But yeah, it's a mess. I mean, it sounds like there's just thousands and thousands of influencers, scientists, politicians, celebrities. That were in some way, shape, or form connected to him. So I don't get it out there. Like, I don't.
Right.
Let's say the American public isn't ready for this information. Well, let's get ready.
Yeah, what is it? Like, you know? Freaking aliens or something?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, our former president got shot in the head in Pennsylvania, and we just shrug our shoulders. So if we can shrug our shoulders at that, you know, I think we can deal with whatever's going to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is that they made this a big deal, not us. Like, they were the ones that kept bringing this to light and kept hammering it and kept saying, something's going on here. You need to know about it. You know, your elected leaders are hiding things from you. You know what? These were all like campaign things, right?
Yep.
So you fed it to us. So we heard it. We started digging in and we said, holy shit, there is something bad has gone on here. We want to know. We want to know who it is. We want to know who we should and shouldn't be supporting.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, well, no, actually, never mind.
is a huge part of their campaign. And then for Trump to say, oh, we still talking about that guy? We still talking about that guy? Yeah. Shut up. That was a cornerstone of your campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't bother me that he's losing a lot of support, and rightfully so, because you promised. You promised us that these victims would get justice. And let's, I don't know what's all at risk. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know what was said or what was threatened or whatever.
I feel like, though, the victims that are speaking out, it always seems like then something bad's going to happen to them. Like, someone's just going to.
Sure. And that's just,
you know, just to shut them up.
I feel they've already crossed that void. They already feel like the worst has happened. So go ahead and kill me. I'm willing to die for this.
Okay.
And the other cowards that, I mean, if you're going to make this your cornerstone of your campaign, you're going to say, we're going to do it, we're going to do it. You have to have that mindset, like, I'm ready and willing to die for
this.
To
die for
it.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's how I, like, everyone knew that there's a monstrous force behind this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to grandstand and say, like, oh, we're going to do it, well, then you got to be ready for what's coming.
Yeah.
Because there's, and obviously, I called them cowards. I think there's a lot of cowards that are in charge right now, and I wish they weren't cowards. I wish they would just do what they said.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So. I had a buddy send me something on that exact topic the other day that I hadn't really thought about, and it was basically that not so much the politicians are involved in this this Epstein thing, as far as, like, you know, they're on the list, they've done all these bad things, but that it's more very high power business leaders.
Sure.
So CEOs and people like that, people in high ranking positions in big corporations.
Yeah.
And these are like no name people, you know, that none of us really know.
Right.
But highly, highly influential people, the kind of people who are donating a lot of money to specific campaigns, and that there's a reason why they don't want these people to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Because one, it's going to affect that political machine and the money flow. But two, even more importantly, that comes out, it's going to start crashing companies.
Sure.
And therefore crash the stock market and crash the economy, and all of that's going to come tumbling down is kind of the theory.
No, well, I know that's a theory, but you're saying nameless people. Like, I don't know who the CEO or CFO of is Lockheed Martin or FedEx, like these type of companies, huge companies. But if they're the handle, the spigot of money to a party, you know, to a donation, you do not want to piss him off, right?
Right.
And if he's lived his life like, oh, I've worked this hard, now I can go have fun, and, you know, that's why I do this. And so, and he is red-handed, you know? Mm-hmm. So is that what your friend's getting at? Like, that money will stop? Or is he worried that, like, oh, if you found out FedEx was heavily involved with that, you'd stop using FedEx to ship your products?
It's kind of both. It's that the money that's flowing to the political machine from those big corporations. And then also, it's just when the general public hears anything about a company, like, as an example, just the other day, Trump came out and started talking shit about the CEO of
Cracker Barrel.
Well, that too, but one of these, I think it was Intel. I think it was the CEO of Intel.
Okay.
So he puts a tweet out that just says, so-and-so, whatever the name is highly compromised. You know, just basically like just kind of some cryptic, like, you should think about this kind of thing. He puts that out immediately. Their stock starts dropping.
Yeah.
So that's the point, is that, like, if something were to come out about these CEOs that, oh, they did this, they did that, excuse me, immediately the value of their company, their stocks are going to start dropping.
Sure.
People are going to start selling. Things like that are going to start happening. And if that happens widespread with a bunch of them, which apparently this may have the potential to do, then a lot of stuff starts coming down. Then you see a stock market crash and you see an economy crash.
I got a lot of farmer friends, and we're already going through it. So,
yeah, no doubt.
You know, misery loves company.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about it.
Right.
You know, I really, I like.
To be honest with you, I'm not worried about it either. Like, no. I think a reckoning like that needs to happen.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, this is potentially, this is the theory of what their motivation may be for them doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they should get to just break the law like that and not have to worry about
yeah.
that.
Yeah, right. No.
That's because what we're getting at. It's all to protect us.
Yeah, protect me.
Yeah, it's making it's making sure that
my stock price. Yeah, did you know your IRA has certain stocks in that and they would just tank? Yeah. Like I don't. Yeah.
Corn, just looking out for you.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Corn's $4 a bushel, and it's not really looking out for me.
Right. Right. Did you see on that? We were jumping around like crazy today, but.
So is the news. I think it's a design thing.
Like the last time corn was at this price was in like whatever it was. Like, I don't know, the 50s or 60s or something like that.
Or something.
Yeah. And then I saw this guy do this comparison of like, okay, $4.
What a combine cost back then.
Yeah. And it's like, what you're selling for the same price as you were selling 50 years ago, maybe more. Mm-hmm. But all the stuff that you're buying is 20 times more than what it was long ago.
I saw that. The combine one blew my mind because it was like a brand new combine was like $35,000.
Yeah.
A brand new one with all the bells and whistles, maybe it was $39,000. And the equivalent to that today is over $1 million.
Yeah.
Like 1.2 million.
Yeah.
But yet, corn prices are still the same.
It's
unbelievable.
And when you do that math, it completely makes sense, and this is a topic that we're going to try to tackle hopefully soon if I can get a farmer in. When you do that math, it completely makes sense why the small family farms are going away. You know, back then, if you could sell corn for $4 and you could buy a combine for $35,000, you could operate a few hundred acres and make a living.
Yeah.
Today, you sell corn for $4 and you buy a combine for $500,000 or $1 million.
Yeah.
You have to operate on thousands of acres.
Math doesn't.
I just don't know. It feels like everyone just got caught up playing the game, and you know your farmers should have caught on a lot quicker, or not played it. And that was to beat it. You just produce more, put more inputs, more, get more bushels, and you know. We have a surplus now, an obvious surplus. We got to find markets. It's hard to sell. Like, you're victims of your own demise. You should have just said, no, I'm going to stay with this $35,000 combine, and we're going to be happy with just producing whatever, 160 bushels per acre. We're good. You know, and I think there probably was a lot of backlash and a lot of farmers that had the foresight that didn't want to play along. But it's like, no, if you want to grow your farm and, you know, grow your profits, God damn it, get to 250 or something.
Yeah, right. You know? Yeah. Well, and it's like anything else. There's always going to be somebody that's going to do that.
Yeah.
So if you don't, you're just going to get left behind.
Sure. Yeah, I know. Right? I know. It's just like everyone got led through the nose and everyone, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. Hey, there's a lot to that story. I hope we do get somebody.
Yeah, so do I. All right. Well, on to the next topic. I've got a few written down. Morgan, did you bring anything?
No.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I don't know. Well, should I have?
No news topic of the day.
Guys are the news guys.
Oh, okay. All right. Andy?
I did put out a poll on our YouTube channel. It had around 180,000 votes. Mm. And it was a simple question. Do you think President Trump should crack down on crime in Chicago,
and send
by sending in federal troops? And out of 180,000 votes, over 80% of the people said yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Only 3% said undecided. I always give them a scapegoat, like, you don't have to answer this if you don't.
That's super interesting.
Yeah, over 80,000 or 80%.
Google search, I just type in Trump sending, the first thing that comes up is National Guard to Chicago. Now, we talked about this, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. When we were talking about the National Guard.
In D.C.?
Yeah.
Wait, was I here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're always here. What do you mean?
I don't know. Maybe I wasn't here that day. I don't remember talking about this.
And if you guys remember, I was talking about how Trump was threatening Chicago and I think L.A., and I was feeling like, you know, this Washington thing is a little bit of a bridge too far. You know, I'm not convinced. I don't know if this is the right thing to do, but it feels weird.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are a couple weeks later, and it sounds like it's about to happen in Chicago.
Yeah.
From what I heard on the radio just this morning, that they're expecting this weekend for the ICE agents to show up.
Yeah.
Start hitting Chicago pretty hard. And then the guard, I guess, is going to be after that.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like it's probably happening. Now, of course, the governor of Illinois or whoever.
He's fun, isn't he?
He's mad as hell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so mad. He's so mad.
Yeah, they're filing.
He's not mad about all the murders on his streets, but he's mad about it.
Okay. Yeah. They're like filing lawsuits, or they're doing all kinds of things to kind of preempt this to try to stop it from happening, but it sounds like they're not going to be able to.
Not at all. Not
it sounds like it's going to happen more if he's acting this way. This is, you know what I mean? Like, that's how Trump operates. Like, oh, really? You want to do this? And now I'm sending more.
Like, and Trump had put out, you know, like you're saying, the feelers, like, clean it up.
Yeah.
Clean it up. Mm-hmm. And instead, they had a record weekend over Labor Day weekend of, what, over 50 people murdered? Over 80 shot, something like that.
Jeez.
I mean, it was pretty wild. Like, and I don't even think that was like an all time high for Chicago in a 4 day span. So, I call me crazy, but I do think the people of Chicago should be able to go to a gas station, fill up, buy some M&Ms and a soda, and not get shot like that.
I'm
just throwing that out there, you know. And it's wild hearing these arguments from like the governor and the mayor. And one of them, he said, it was just, I thought it was hilarious. He goes,
mayor, yeah.
He's like, so it's obvious that they're trying to do this in secrecy. Like, they're not being secret about it at all. Like, Like, we talked about things that they're being secretive about. This is not. They're like being up in front, like, clean it up or we're coming in. And so I just think it's funny, like, once again, they just say the exact opposite of what's actually being done,
and just hope
that I'm dumb enough to like, yeah. Why is Trump being so secretive about this?
But why aren't they doing it in secret? Because all these people are probably just running and hiding. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, why are we telling them, "Hey, ICE is coming. Go find a bunker."
We seem to do that with a lot of things.
Asinine.
Remember when we did the bunker buster not too long ago, and we told them like 2 weeks ahead of time?
Yes.
Like, hey, these bunker busters are coming. Mm. And that's another story that's like we haven't heard crap about since. We drop these bunker busters and we supposedly just annihilate this underground nuclear facility. And then all these stories start coming out like, no, they had already evacuated that place. It's empty. But then nothing else.
All right. Well, then the last story I heard on that was, they didn't get as much as Trump said they got.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I wish they wouldn't even got that then. It wasn't even worth getting that.
Yeah. So here, this Chicago story, So does it need to happen? It probably needs something. I'm going to say the same thing that I said about D.C. that I said about any of these cities. The police forces are underfunded and understaffed.
Mm-hmm.
So is this going to work? Could this work? Yes, it could work. But what could also work is just for these places to have more money. Mm. Because if they have more people, they can police better and they can take care of things. Mm. Now, if there's a problem with their actual organization within the organization, that's obviously something that needs to be addressed and there could be problems. But so there's that. I think they can make a difference. I just don't know if I like this. And I'm going to read through a couple of quick things here. So this was, I think it was 3 days ago when he said this. This was on the 2nd, yeah. So Trump vows to send in troops to Chicago but won't say when. So the language that he uses, this is what bothers me. Here's his quote. "We're going in. I didn't say when, but we're going in," Trump told reporters at the White House. So I'm into language and what people say and how they use words.
Mm-hmm.
When he says that, "we're going in," I didn't say when, but "we're going in."
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's immediately separating the people of Chicago from him and his people, when in reality, we're all the same people. We're all Americans.
So he's separating the local government from the federal government.
Yeah. And to try to explain this, when he says "we're going in," he's basically saying like, me and my people are going in here to fix this thing. All of those people that you're going in there after are also your people.
You're right.
Right. You're supposed to stand for all of us.
Yeah. So it's more like, it should be more like, I'm rounding up fellow Americans and going to this place, sending them to this place in aid, in support of other fellow Americans to get this problem fixed.
Yeah.
You know, something along those lines. But it's immediately divisive straight out of the gate.
Sure.
With just that language. And a lot of people don't even realize that that's what's being said and that's what's happening because of this kind of language.
He wants, it's like he almost wants that, like, my people follow me against you bad people.
And I understand that there's a lot of people there, like this mayor and governor and whoever else, that are completely against him, that don't consider themselves his people.
Sure.
I get that. And he's just saying, you know, he's basically saying like, hey, you don't consider yourself part of my team, then you're not. My team's coming in to take care of this.
Yeah.
But I just feel like he has to handle that a little bit differently.
Well, he did. I saw a couple of days ago where he said something that I think you would have appreciated. And it was along those lines of, hey, this is all of us. All of us. I'm doing this for you people too. Mm-hmm. And he was talking to the reporters. He goes, you all know someone that has been assaulted or murdered or harassed on the streets of Chicago. Like, we're here. This is going to help you too. Mm. And so, like,
well,
I think,
that's great.
Well, yeah.
I think that was more of along the lines of what you're looking for there. But there you go again. Like when I try to build headlines and stuff for our daily newscast, when you start typing things in there, you know, it's MSNBC, CNN, CBS, ABC. They all have the kind of same headline and the same slant, you could say.
Right.
And it's usually not pro-Trump.
For sure, yeah.
Which I think in itself is kind of... you know, I wish we could support whoever our president is a little bit more, you know, but I say that and, you know, a few years ago, Sleepy Joe, he was getting all these positive headlines. It's like, why in the hell are they, why would they say that? you know, so like I go back and forth, I guess.
This goes on to quote the mayor in exactly what you're talking about. And the mayor responded saying, he just wants his own secret police force that will do publicity stunts whenever his poll numbers are sinking, whenever his jobs reports shows a stagnant economy, whenever he needs another distraction from his failures. So that's what the mayor's saying. He's basically saying, like, there's no problem here. This is just a publicity stunt for him so that people don't pay attention. Like, look at the left hand while the right hand's doing this or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Which is the kind of thing that makes people even more mad.
Sure.
When you say something like that, you know, when you have your poll that you did and you see that 80% of the people support this move, that's because of comments like this.
Right.
Because people read this shit and they're like, dude, answer the freaking question.
And
address the actual problem. Don't, because this dude is literally trying to do what he says Trump's trying to do. Instead of addressing the problem, he's saying, no, don't look at this problem. Just look over here what
he's
Trump's
deflecting.
Trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of gaslighting. And the D.C., from what I saw, a big part of why that was so successful and they were able to clean it up was because all they did was allow the local police department to do their job. I guess there was a lot of rules, regulations, laws that were already on the book that were just being ignored. And so Trump's people got in there and said, like, just do it. Do what you're allowed to do. Mm-hmm. See this, see this, see this, see this. Do it. I mean, and so they, you know, kind of unhandcuffed the local police department. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It works. So.
Interesting.
I would assume that there probably is going to be a stunt, you could call it, like a big show of strength when they do deploy into Chicago. But I would say the next step would be just allowing the local police force, like what you're saying, Ben, to just do their job, just allow them to do their job.
Right, that's the thing. Yeah. They just need that. That's what they need.
I do. I don't know. I think it's embarrassing that a lot of our big, beautiful cities, we're just supposed to accept that there's going to be high crime. You know, no, there's not. Just because there's a lot of people in one place doesn't mean
there has to be. No.
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, we've talked about this before, and again, this is a whole other conversation. But I feel strongly that human beings are not designed to live in those kinds of conditions where we have high population density, mm-hmm. people living on top of people, just the way everything works, the stuff you do and do not have access to, what you have to do to get access to things.
Sure.
You know, all this kind of stuff. I just don't think we're built to live like that, and that violence and crime is just a natural result of those situations.
Mm.
That's a whole other conversation, but I feel strongly about that.
Okay. Well, yeah. That is interesting.
Yeah. Big cities, man. Big
what
cities?
Else do you feel strong about?
A few things, if you haven't listened over the last couple of years.
You just made me think of something else I saw. I watched too many things. And I want Agent Blue to dive into this for us.
Yeah, we got to get him back. I got to find that, dude. I need to go hit up Hy-Vee.
And I saw this bar chart or line chart, and it was diving into why don't we have serial killers like we used to, in the 70s and the 80s. Like Jeffrey Dahmer, William H. Gacy or Gacy, whatever that guy was, the river. And this guy was tying the correlation with lead poisoning, like lead in your paint, lead on your toys, lead in your food, lead in gasoline.
Like that made them crazy?
Yeah. When they were children, it messed with their brains. And it made everybody more violent. And as soon as they took lead out of paint, went to unleaded gasoline, these two bar charts just follow each other. And it's like the violent crimes went down, the number of crimes went down. So it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And I would like to see what Agent Blue has to say about that.
Yeah, I think, and to put another spin on that, and I'm not supporting serial killers by any means.
God.
But
the common folk serial
killer. Let me just put that out there. But the murderers of today are cowards.
Mm.
They don't serial kill because they're cowards. They go and they commit the crime, they commit the murder, they do whatever they do, and then they just kill themselves.
Mm.
I mean, it seems like the majority of them, that's what they do.
Right.
They're not
wanting to live themselves to be found.
Is that what you're saying? They're just cowards.
They don't want the repercussions. Oh, they don't want to get caught.
They act like they stand for something, and they have this big strong feeling about something, but then they're not willing to actually stand for it and talk about it.
See, and they just
want to make a big splash and go away.
They're not psychopathic enough, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what he was getting at. Was like the lead screws with your brain and like basically poisons it to where you don't have any empathy. You are, your IQ gets lowered. You're more aggressive. You're triggered more easily. Mm-hmm. All these things that like basically is a blueprint to be a serial killer, be a psychopath.
Mm.
So it was really interesting. When you said coward, I thought you were going to say like you go down more of the path of, they're almost too lazy, they'd rather just be a troll online and get the same satisfaction rather than to actually go out there and do it. Like, are you really that mad at young women that just are privileged?
Yeah.
Okay, well then try to murder 15 of them. Let's see what you got, buddy.
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to be online and troll.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we're talking shit to psychos.
or I'm going to go to a school or a church or something and just make a big scene, kill a couple of people, and then just shoot myself out back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean,
that's another thing I hate about those people is you're going into a place where you know they're not going to fire back.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. They're like, cowards, man. Yeah,
big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. Anyway.
God, we are so ADD today.
We talk about 100 different things today. That's crazy.
Holy cow. It must be the Friday jitters.
Last thing I want to talk about is Barn Owl. Barnowl.tech. If you're looking for cameras, surveillance cameras, something to monitor your property, something to monitor your herd, something to monitor your road, check out Barn Owl. These wireless cameras, cellular connected, solar panels. We've still got ours running. I use it every single day. I get multiple messages per day of things that it's picking up. Some of the they continue to upgrade their system, and now actually just started this week. I'm getting messages. I get push notifications to my phone that say, you know, the camera took a picture. The camera saw something.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's telling me a vehicle was detected.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So instead of just saying, hey, I took a photo, it's saying a vehicle was detected or an animal was detected.
Did it detect when I took your truck?
What do you mean that, you took my truck?
caught her taking the truck.
I wanted to feel like a badass. Remember on Monday I had to take your truck?
I mean, I
did you get the picture too?
Picture of the truck.
Oh, he's not monitoring very closely.
Well, if I know, so like if I know, like as an example,
I think it was Monday.
So this morning, you came to work before I did.
Uh huh.
I knew. So it sends a message and it says, you know, a vehicle was detected, whatever, 7:15 a.m. or whatever. And I know that's you, so I don't pull it up. But I'm gonna pull it up right now. Why, you got something for me here or what?
I might have done something to the camera on the camera.
Oh, yeah, letting him know, huh?
Yeah,
you're letting him know, like the old number one salute.
I was like, oh, is this guy actually checking Barn Owl?
Did you see the guy from? I don't know if you guys watched much college football, but Alabama lost.
Yeah,
And we were watching it. I was watching it with my brother-in-law, and we were having some beers, and buddies were over. And they zoomed in on this Alabama fan, a young man, and he was just down in the dumps, you know, and he looked at the camera and saw the cameras looking at him, and
I saw him. He was just like,
gave the Morgan
flipped him off.
We all just bust out loud. I'm like, oh, that dude's a meme for the rest of his life.
He flipped off the camera.
And he had like this sad face, and he's like,
oh, dude. And within 12 hours, the number of memes of that dude, it was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like, he's famous now for the rest of his life for being a sad Alabama fan.
Yeah.
Join the club, buddy.
Right.
There was a lot of upsets this past weekend, wasn't there?
Yeah. SEC had a tough go. Tough go of it.
Man, so I never look at pictures of myself as far as like when my truck's coming in,
but now you are.
Well, I didn't realize. So like when it's looking at the truck,
when does
like
it take
I can
the
see
picture?
It see this picture I can see it's the truck, but I don't see the driver's window.
Oh, you need to tilt that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the truck.
Then you must have not got me. I might have flipped you the bird.
How long have you been waiting for me to see that?
I thought you were going to say something.
Like, I was sitting there with it.
I never drive his truck. And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, that camera. What, bitch?
Nice. See, I did the same thing years ago, and I couldn't stand it. I like waited months for my dad to say something. And I finally like, did you check your SD
camera?
Card? Did you check your camera? And that's when
he's
just
like,
got
no, I never look at it.
Yeah. He's like, well, I tried to, but I couldn't get it on. Blah,
you're gonna have to tilt that up.
So, yep, gonna have to tilt it up so I can see Morgan flipping me off on the bar now.
It was just good.
Well, we got this food plot all up and running, and it was nice and new and everything. Put a new camera on it, and Dad was learning how to do all that stuff. And I was out working on the finishing up the electric wire fence around this new food plot.
Okay.
And getting everything ready to go for cattle to come in around it. And I just had the typical stuff, like, in the back of the truck, but there was also, like, somehow, like, a scream mask was like left in the back seat or something.
Oh, God.
So I put the scream mask on and I had a chainsaw.
Oh,
and
shit.
So I'm like, Ashley, I just want you to run this way and I'm just going to run after you. So like two or three
so
pictures.
You did it.
Yeah, of me chasing Ashley with a chainsaw in the scream mask.
Hilarious.
And yeah, so I'm just like, every time I would go, I'm like, did you check your camera?
No, just want him to.
Yeah. I'm like,
oh, that's good.
It would have been really fun.
It would have been. Well, at least you have clear pictures of the bottom of your truck.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the whole truck, but I can only see like a quarter of the driver's window.
Yeah, so, well.
This is good.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Your truck is a little bit high.
I can see the whole thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. We'll have to. But those tinted windows, we don't know what's going on in there. Yep,
right. That's so true. Wow.
Anyway, Barn Owl, barnowl.tech. If you're looking for cameras, this is the place to shop. They're, as I said, their technology continues to advance constantly.
Even those pictures look better than
the pictures
a year
are super
ago.
Clear.
Like, they're really clear. Yeah.
Again, I mean, we've had this thing up for a long time now. I haven't put batteries in it. If I check the battery right now, it says 99%.
All through winter, too.
Yep.
Like, that was awesome.
Yep. The cell deal has gotten better, too. Down in the bottom where we hunt that I have the camera sent down there, my cell phone doesn't work.
Yeah,
but I'm getting photos out of it.
Yeah.
So it's connecting enough to get cell signal, and it's sending me more photos now, so they must be somehow upgrading that network or that technology.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's...
Barn Owl. Get it.
Barnell.tech. You can get 10% off if you use the code FARMFOCUSED, all one word, FARMFOCUSED. Check them out. Holiday season's coming up. It'd be a great gift as
It would.
Anybody can use that.
Be awesome for a calving barn, no doubt.
Yep. All right. Barnell.tech.
That's it.
FarmFocused website. You want to buy some gear? Use code COMMONFOLK, 20% off. That's part of why we do this, right? We need people to go on the Farm Focus website and buy things. So check it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
20% off. Common Folk code. Anything else?
Nope.
No. All right. Well,
that's it.
Appreciate you guys. Peace. Talk to you later.
Later.